Acts 16, find that place in your Bible tonight, Acts chapter 16, and we will get into another lesson here that is timely for this conference that is just now a few days away. And again, going down memory lane, this is a message that I brought to the church February 15th, 1998. So it's a couple years old, a little older than a lot of the kids that are in this room, of course. But the truth is unchanging, amen, and we'll get into it tonight and learn a little bit about the essence of missions from Acts chapter 16. Let's pray together. Father, grateful for your goodness to us, grateful for the service we've enjoyed so far, the prayer time, the missionary report. Pray that you'll be with Brother Frazier in the passing of his wife. Thank you for 72 years, my goodness. What a great, great example of commitment and faithfulness to each other and to you. Father, I pray that you'll be with him the latter years of his life as he's preaching at the center where he's now living. And God, just encourage his heart when he's lonely. And for the others that we mentioned tonight and those we prayed for, would you please meet each need? And Lord, bless this time of missions conference. Help me tonight. Help us to learn from our Bible in Christ's name. Amen. Well, 4 days, we welcome Pastor Johnson and the 6 missionary families that we introduced to you on Sunday night to our church, and just a reminder, missionaries are not a burden. They are a blessing, and you have to keep that in mind. We cannot obey the Great Commission given to us by Christ without these families. And you have the Chacones going to Latin America and Mexico and Venezuela, and Shane Dice and his family in England, and the Hansons in Panama, the Reardons in Mexico, the Georges in Argentina, and the Hectors in Guatemala. So kind of a Hispanic missions conference this year. I'm not sure it was planned to be that way, but kind of shaped out that way. And I'm surprised at the English flag. I thought it was different than that. It kind of looks like the Crusader flag, if you ask me. But anyway, they looked it up on the internet and said that's the English flag. But it is what it is up there now, so it is for the conference, all right? But without these folks, they are our lifeline to help us take the gospel to the world. And it's hard to think that in 1 week from now, it will be ending. This will be our last service. And it's hard to believe that will happen, but it will. Now, the clearest example of missionary work in the Bible is from the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And of course, I'm speaking outside the person of Jesus Christ, as he was a missionary in every sense of the word. He left his country and went to a foreign field and lived there for 33 and a half years and did about the most important missionary work that any missionary has ever done. Died on the cross, was buried, rose again to provide free salvation for whosoever will, right? But the human, and Jesus was human, but outside of Jesus, Paul was the example missionary as he went about fulfilling the Great Commission. Now, we're going to begin in verse number 6, all right? This is Paul and Silas on their missionary journey. For Paul, it is his second journey. And on this journey, a very interesting experience takes place. And I have a map for us here tonight. And so we'll get that up on the screen and we'll be able to see here geographically what the Bible is referencing in Acts chapter 16. Verse number 6, the Bible says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia," and I'm going to go ahead and do some clicking here. I thought I'd do some clicking here. I'm not doing any clicking here. All right. I'm not sure that's the map that I had, but that's what's come up. But this thing is not working, Brother Andrew. So, all right. So, okay, here we go. We're getting some things up on the wall there now. All right. I'll click all these cities. All right. So, all right now. Okay, let's back up. Obviously, technology. All right, here we go. Well, abracadabra, here it's good, here and gone. All right, we're going to start in Antioch. That's where they started. Now, let's go here. Verse number 6 again. "Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region," all right, you see the word Phrygia right there, okay, "and the region of Galatia," you see that right there, okay. So they went around the eastern edge of the Mediterranean Sea, and they went through the area of Phrygia and the area of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So that's right there. So God forbid them to stop there in the Asia area and preach there. So they kept going. Verse number 7, after they were come to Mysia, you see that at the top of the red line up there, they essayed to go into Bithynia. So now this is very interesting, what took place here in Mysia. The Bible says they essayed to go into Bithynia. Now, you see where Bithynia is. You see where Mysia is, and you see where Bithynia is. So, what Paul and his party wanted to do when they hit Mysia was take a hard right turn, if you would, and go back northeast up toward the Black Sea. All right? And that area there is modern-day Turkey. Okay, and that was what they wanted to do. But look what it says in verse number 7. The Spirit suffered them not. So what Paul wanted to do, the Spirit of God said, no, you're not going to do that. Verse number 8. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. So now they're at Troas. And you see that city, right? That's as far as the red line goes right now, right on the shores of the Aegean Sea. And the Bible says in verse number 9, that this is where Paul experienced a remarkable instruction or direction about this missionary journey. The Bible says in verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, this meant that they had to cross. Do I push the bottom arrow? Okay, so they had to cross. How many times do I push it? 2, 3, 4. Hey, so 4 times. So they had to cross the northern edge of the Aegean Sea, and they landed at Neapolis there, and they went to the principal city in that area known as Philippi. They went to where the people were. All right, so that's what they did instead of going northeast back to Bithynia. It was at Mysia, at Troas, where Paul had what we call the Macedonian vision. Okay? And in this little text right here in Acts chapter 16, and surrounding this missionary journey, we find the essence of missions. And I want to show you 4 things tonight from this passage that is the essence, that are the essence of missions. You're just going to leave that map up on the wall there, because this is the journey that Paul and Silas and others took. I think Luke joined them on this trip at some point. But he wanted to go northeast to Bithynia, and the Spirit of God said, no, you're not going to go that direction. You're going to keep going west. And when he got to Troas, stopped there, and then he got that Macedonian call, that vision from the man in Macedonia. So the first thing I want to say tonight about the essence of missions is this. Missions is people. It's people. I think this, none of this is elementary, folks, but it doesn't hurt us to be reminded of it, okay? Now look at verse number 9 again. There stood a man in Macedonia. And he said, come over into Macedonia and help us. There stood a man. Missions is not agriculture. Missions is not building. I don't mind giving $1,000 tonight to Brian Johnson to help them have a building. But the truth of the matter is, you can accomplish missions without a building. Many missionaries have never had a building. They met under trees and huts and so forth. It's not buildings. It's not organizations. Missions is people. And it's people of all ethnicities. I'm talking about the Caucasians, the blacks, the Orientals, the Hispanics, the Indians of all places, the Indians of Australia, the Indians of America, the Indians of Russia, the Indians of Canada, the Indians of South America, and every other country in the world. I'm talking about the Jews. We're talking about the Muslims. We're talking about men, women, youth, boys, and girls. We're talking about people in modernized cities and people in third world countries. We're talking about people on the mainland, continental areas, if you will, and those on remote islands. It doesn't matter. It's wherever people are, wherever a person is, that's missions. We're talking those in crowded apartment complexes where millions reside, and those in thatched roofed huts. Missions is people. If they are a people group with a developed language and an alphabet, or if they are a people group without a written language, they are the essence of missions. Paul had a vision of a man. There stood a man. Now, our missions dollars, by and large, do not go to support organizations or denominational headquarters. The vast, vast, vast majority of our missions dollars goes to people who are taking the gospel to people, because that's the essence of missions. In Paul's vision from God, he saw a man who pled for help. Now, I have had the privilege, if I haven't overlooked the country, I've had the privilege to visit Mexico, Canada. I've been inside the Arctic Circle. Been to Argentina, been to Bahamas, been to Australia, New Zealand, Ukraine, Russia, Belarus, the Philippines, and of course, Madagascar. As far as I know, as far as I remember, that's the ones that I have visited, and I have preached in all of those places. I have visited more than one missionary in most of those countries, more than one in Mexico, more than one in Canada, more than one inside the Arctic Circle, because we not only visited Bob Mace, we visited Brother Warren Compton over in Selawik. More than one in Argentina, more than one in Bahamas, more than one in Australia, more than one in New Zealand. That's back when Mike Rigney was in New Zealand. More than one in Ukraine, more than one in Russia, more than one in Belarus, more than one in the Philippines, and more than one in Madagascar. So I've gone, been to these, visited more than one. In every case, all the missionaries in those countries where I have visited, they are there for people. They are not there to establish organizations. They're not there to grow crops for food purposes. They are there for the same reason Paul went to Macedonia. They are there for people, because that is missions. One of the essences of missions is people. And that's what Paul saw in this vision. There stood a man. Come over and help us. When Paul got there, I'm sorry. Now, look, I'm not against using medical missions for a tool. I'm not against, some guys have developed well systems. And those are a big help to places that don't have clean water. But they are using those things. That's not the end. The end is not a well system. The end is not a medical trip making people well. The end is preaching the gospel to lost people. That's the end, because that is missions. So missions, we find in this passage, is people. Number two, missions is vision. It's vision. In verse number 9, the Bible says a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Now, we don't have visions today like Paul had. The Bible was not completely written and assembled. It was completely written. It just wasn't assembled on earth yet when God gave Paul this vision. But I want to say this. God gave Paul this vision. Paul did not go looking for one. God gave it to Paul. He put this vision in Paul's mind. And Paul saw this man standing over in Macedonia. Come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, you may wonder sometimes, why do we have almost every month a visiting missionary? Why don't we just have a missions conference in September, start on Sunday and end on Wednesday, and that's it for the rest of the year? Some churches, they operate like that. That's how they do business. That's their business. But why do we have a missionary almost every month? Why do we have missionary letter prayer time the last Sunday night of every month? Why do we have four missionary families on every Wednesday night, like Brother Andrew did tonight? What is the reason for the conference? It's to keep missions in front of our eyes. It's to keep it in front of our eyes. The more that you and I are exposed to missions, the more our young people are exposed to missions, the more missions will be on all of our hearts. People, it's sad when missions is out of sight, out of, and it happens. It happens. And I'm not criticizing, critiquing how other churches do their business. And I wasn't always like this. I've grown into this over the years as God has just laid this thing over and over and over and over on my heart. If it's out of sight, it can get out of mind. You know, the vision to reach the world has got to be kept before us. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 35, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. This is why we have missionary prayer time every Sunday night, last Sunday night of the month. This is why we have almost every month a missionary guest, a living, breathing missionary. I would bring somebody in like that. You know what, folks? I'm afraid to stop it. I'm afraid to change what's worked. I'm afraid to change it. We don't need it. We don't need it to be out of mind. And if it gets out of sight, it's out of mind. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 51. Jeremiah talked about the destruction of the city of Jerusalem after Nebuchadnezzar and his army came in. And he said, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Now, he's talking about a city that's been destroyed. And it was his city. So I appreciate that. But how much more will our eyes affect our heart about missions when we keep it in front of us? Missions is vision. There is more to the commission than just our area. Think about it. We live in a small / medium-sized area when it comes to population here in Bradley, Bourbonnais, and Kankakee. I did a little research, and I was kind of surprised. Estimates for the three-city area, estimated population for the three-city area in 2022 are a combined 56,749. Now, if you lived in this area for a long time, that sounds low, doesn't it? That's people within the three city limits, all right? So within the city limits of Bourbonnais, within the city limits of Bradley, and in the city limits of Kankakee, they're estimating a 2022 population, 56,749 people. The estimated 2022 population of our county, Kankakee County, is 106,312. And in case you're wondering, the websites that I resourced gave the percentage of people that are moving out of Illinois. Illinois' population statewide is decreasing. Okay? So it's decreasing because people are moving out of our state. Now, 56,749 within the city limits of those three cities, these three cities. 306,312 in the county. Do you know that they are projecting by November this year, the population on planet Earth will reach 8 billion? 8 billion. There are so many more people being born into this world right now than are leaving this world by way of death. So many more. And so we're talking about our area, people, is a micro small percentage. I tried to figure the percentage of our county population to 8 billion. And I don't even know how to do it. I mean, there's so many zeros there that I lose track after a while. You know what I'm talking about? But it is a micro small percentage of the world's population. If all we do is keep our eyes focused on Bourbonnais, Bradley, and Kankakee, which we have got to do, and even the surrounding areas, if we keep our eyes focused on Kankakee County, we are missing the vast majority of the world's population. So we have to keep missions. We have to keep our vision for the world sharp. Because if we're not careful, our world becomes only that we see with our physical eyes. But there is a huge, huge world of people in need of the gospel. 8 billion. And we must have a vision that extends beyond the boundaries of what we know as our home area. And I think that's why we try to keep missions in front of us as a church, because missions is vision. It's looking beyond where you live. It's looking beyond where you shop. It's looking beyond who you know in your comparatively small circle of people that you know compared to 8 billion people. We have to realize they are our responsibility beyond the group that we see and know. So we got to. It's about vision. Robert Moffat, David Livingston is probably one of the best known missionary from years gone by to go to the continent of Africa. Everybody's heard of David Livingston, okay? He had his heart buried in Africa. When he died, they cut his heart out and buried it in Africa and took his body back to England. People don't know Robert Moffat. He's lesser known than David Livingston, but he also served on the continent of Africa. Moffat was there before Livingston, and he actually became Livingston's father-in-law when David Livingston married Moffat's daughter, Mary. And it was Robert Moffat who influenced David Livingston because he heard Moffat say, and I quote, "In the vast plain to the north, I have sometimes seen in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been." You know what Robert Moffat had? He had vision. He had vision beyond where he lived. He had vision beyond where he'd been. He had vision beyond where he did business. He had vision beyond where he preached. Vision beyond where he spread the gospel. Some people don't have vision beyond their cell phones. Texting and looking on the internet. I mean, you know, we don't have vision beyond a cell phone. But missions is vision. Lift up your eyes. Look on the field. It was said about Jesus in Matthew 9 and verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. So Jesus is moved by the vision of multitudes of lost people. If Jesus is moved by that vision, then maybe it would do well for you and I to keep our eyes on that as well. Do good for us to do that too. It's vision. Missions is vision. There are Brother Luke's here, Jack's here tonight. I can't think of anybody else in the room that went with us on that trip to Ukraine and Russia. Brother Don Reardon went, and I think Katie went, I think. And I forget, there were seven of us all together. And they will remember, we got to Ukraine, to Kiev, and we had a service with Brother Matt Hudson and his family there when they were in Ukraine. Catherine, I think, mentioned this Sunday. Catherine was still living. And then we went to Russia with Brother Osworthy, and we visited Oriol. And then we caught the train, went to Moscow, and caught the train all the way down to the Crimean Peninsula. Back then, the Crimean Peninsula belonged to Ukraine. Since then, Russia's taken it. All right? So we went to the Crimean Peninsula, and kids from Russia, teenagers from Russia, and teenagers from Ukraine, and teenagers from, maybe Belarus, a few from Belarus, and maybe another country. I don't know if I mentioned this, was it Sunday or last? Might have been at Providence last week. I was talking about this. But we had a teen conference there. And David Sloan was there at that time. And he put this conference together. And he asked me to be the main speaker at the conference. And so we went to this conference, took these people with us. And they will remember seeing those teenagers come to that conference with a stick on their shoulder and a little knapsack and had their clothes in it. That's how they came to the conference. Not all of them, but several of them. And they will remember when those kids got to this little place where we had the youth conference, they took a rope and they tied it between two trees and they took this old beat up ball that you wouldn't find at Goodwill. I mean, you wouldn't take it to Goodwill. Y'all, I don't know if y'all remember that or not. This old beat up ball, and they played volleyball over a rope, not a net. They strung a rope there and played volleyball. I'll never get that sight out of my mind. I will forever see that. I'll forever see those teenagers walking up. They got off the bus, walked to the compound where we had the conference with a stick on their little knapsack with their clothes for the week, for the entire conference, and then hit a little ball over a rope. Now, you think about that. And this is, missions is people, and missions is vision. It's seeing beyond where we live. It's seeing beyond where we work. It's seeing beyond where we shop. It's seeing beyond where we go to church. It's seeing beyond where we evangelize. And understanding that 8 billion people, knowing the time, this is urgent. That's why Paul went on to say it's high time for us to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Not talking about getting saved from sin. Talking about getting saved by glorification, raptured out of this world. It's closer than ever before. And the need is urgent. So missions is people and missions is vision. And then let me say number three tonight, that missions is surrender. It's surrender. In verse number 10, incredible verse here. Paul said, Luke is writing this, right? And he says, after he had seen the vision, after Paul saw it, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. So Luke is a part of the company. And so Paul sees the vision and immediately he surrendered. This is not what he wanted to do. He wanted to go northeast. He wanted to go back to Bithynia. That's what he wanted to do. But when God said, no, you're going to go west, he surrendered. So seeing the vision in and of itself is not enough. There must be surrender. There must be a surrender of our will to go or give. And you know, when we talk about surrender at a missions conference, we almost always exclusively talk about surrender in the context of going. But people, it takes surrender to give. It takes you and I surrendering our will to obey God, okay? You know, seeing the vision does not always mean someone has to go. The result of having a vision for missions can result in giving. And I'm not talking about tipping God a few dollars per week. I am referring to people who get a vision for missions and they surrender and give sacrificially for the spread of the gospel. And I want to get it out of, when I do this in other missions conferences that I preach, and we need to do it here. We need to get it out of our mind, you know, that if you're sitting here thinking, yeah, you know, most everybody gives, you know, $5-$10 a week. People, we don't give to missions what we give by giving $5 and $10 a week. There are people here who are committed to this thing. One of our missionaries enjoys the benefit of 200 people who go soul winning 40 hours a week in their area. And their wages are paid by a businessman here in the States. Now, obviously, they don't make wages like the people make here in the States. But missions is serious business with a lot of people. 200 soul winners. And if you know the ministry I'm talking about, and you look at the numbers that they're running there, you put 200 people out 40 hours a week doing nothing but giving the gospel, you're going to get a few people in church. It's incredible. And I preach there in the building, jam-packed. Jorge Armendariz went with me when he was pastor in the Spanish church. So it's no show and blow. It's substance. And that's financed by one man. One man here in the States. One of our missionaries was the recipient of a $1 million gift from a generous man here in the States. $1 million. That's wonderful. So we need to get it out of our mind that, you know, yeah, okay, $3 or $4 a week. Now, if that's all you can do, that's all you can do. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what? Missions is surrender. And it's when we pray and God lays a figure on our heart and God and we surrender to that. And if God calls, surrender. If he calls to go. So immediately, boy, Paul didn't give his flesh any opportunity to talk him out of doing the will of God. Okay, I want to go that direction. God says, no, we're going to go west to Troas. No problem. Here we go. Let's go. We're going to go. He has the vision then to go to Macedonia. So missions is people. Missions is surrender. Missions is vision. And then last of all, I want to say this. Missions is the Lord's calling. Missions is the Lord's calling. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says that we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us. No question, no doubt, Paul knew God called him. So after the vision, Paul is assured God's will is for him to go on to help the people who were in Macedonia. He wanted to go another direction, but God's call changed his direction. And I want to say, church, and I've said before, it's a good thing that Paul obeyed the call of God. Because you see where the gospel went? It went west. And if we went further on this missionary journey, it might go a little bit further. If it goes, it goes a little further on this missionary journey. You kind of see where we're headed, you know, and then it goes south, south and west. But you know that overall, in the first century, when Paul went back to visit all these churches, they kept going further west, and they kept going further west. And he wanted to go to Spain, which was further west and further west. He went to Italy. He went to Rome. And you know where the gospel finally came to the shores of the Atlantic Ocean there in England, and it came west on the Mayflower and with some of those other people that came. We could be sitting here tonight, the direct result of this apostle's obedience and surrender to the call of God in the first century. How are things looking up in Russia? How are things looking up in Belarus? They got religious freedom there? We don't understand. One vision, one surrender. And we're here, we sit tonight with the gospel. I'm always thrilled. I don't ever throw cold water on any young man or young lady, or teenage young man or teenage young lady, or any adult man who feels like God's calling them to some kind of missionary service. But I want to say this. God calls you. There's no going back. Nothing gets in the way. Nothing. If it God calls, nothing got in Paul's way. Nothing. My call to full-time Christian service is as precious to me, as sacred to me, as my salvation. It really is. I remember my salvation clear as a bell, and I remember the night that I knew God called me to gospel ministry. And I never looked back. Ever. I never had any other thing in my mind's in my vision. God's call. God's call. And thankfully, he's given me the health and the mental ability so far to get this thing accomplished and do it. And if you surrender, if you come down here and kneel and tell Brother Bragg or myself or Brother Andrew, or you've told Brother Mick in the past, I feel like God's called me to mission. If God called you, there's no turning back. None. So see it through. See it through. It's a call to prepare. And if it's literally the call of God, you can try to substitute anything else you want to, and it's never, ever going to do in your heart what obeying God would do. Ever. Won't do it. Won't do it. Missions. We're talking about the essence. What is missions? It is people. It's vision. It's surrender. And it's the Lord's calling. And when you don't even have any idea what God's going to do when he calls and you obey. And here we sit tonight. That's the essence of missions right there in your Bible. That's the people that we try to support. We try to support people who are going to reach people. Reach people with the gospel. No matter where, reach them with the gospel. They've got a vision. They've surrendered. They've got the Lord's call. And we want to support them as they go. Let's stand together. Thank you for your attention tonight. That's a very simple, elementary lesson. But, you know, the kids get older. They listen better. than they did when they were little children. And it doesn't hurt to go over it again and again. Father in heaven, I thank you for the Apostle Paul's obedience and his surrender to your call on this missionary journey that we looked at tonight. Because I believe with all of my heart that we sit here tonight in America, having enjoyed what we've enjoyed in this nation, because Paul was obedient to your call. And I pray that you will help our people, help us. Lord, please, may we get a vision of 8 billion people inhabiting this planet. May we lift up our eyes beyond the three-city area or the area where we live and see the world and see them lost as sheep scattered, having no shepherd. And may our hearts be moved with compassion as our heart is affected by what we see. And Lord, may we surrender to your will to go or give or both. And then, Lord, for those who are called, I pray that they would never look back. They'd see it through by your grace with your help. We love you. We thank you for this time of year. I rejoice in it. My heart is excited about it. I pray for your will to be done. And we'll thank you in advance in Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just a brief song of invitation. We'll finish here tonight.